praised. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Hey, Anglin, y'all keep playing that. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Holy Ghost. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence here, that you're the comforter, the helper, the strengthener, the standby. Hallelujah. You are everything that we need in this life. Everything that we're looking for and seeking for is in you. We find it in you. We find our freedom in you. We find our deliverance in you. We find our healing in you. We find our restoration in you. We find our provision in you. Everything that we are, everything that we're looking for, everything that we have, everything that we could have, everything that we hope and dream for to obtain is in you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that everything is in you. All of our freedom, all of our joy, all of our righteousness, all of our existence is in you. It's in you, Father. It's in Jesus. It's found in Jesus. Hallelujah. Through the blood, by the sacrifice. Hallelujah. We're thankful, Father. We're thankful for the sacrifice of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Everything that we need is in you. Hallelujah. There's freedom in you, Lord. Freedom in you. Freedom in you. Hallelujah. We are free today. Hallelujah. From the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. We are free today. Hallelujah. The hand of the enemy cannot come near us. 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at our right hands, but it shall not come near us. We are free from the power of the enemy. We have been set free. We are the redeemed of the Lord, and we have something to say. We say we're redeemed. We say we're set free. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're free. Freedom. We're free. What's ailing you? You're free. What's bothering you? You're free. What's tormenting your mind and just aching you and burning you and right that place that we all get to right before we go to bed, you know, like before you go to sleep, whenever you share with yourself the little secrets you don't share with anybody else, you're free from that. You're free. You're free. Showers of mercy and grace on you all the time. Everywhere you go, mercy and grace. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Mercy, grace, freedom. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I think we're good. Thanks, guys. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? You guys are rocking, man. I still say, you know, the best bass playing that we had was a couple of months ago whenever I played bass. I mean, that was some really good bass playing. I mean, you missed it, Pastor Darren. I think you were in Nicaragua. It was, man. It was, he said, I didn't miss nothing. Hallelujah. How y'all doing tonight? Yeah, you are blessed. My name is Greg. I go to church here at Living Word, have for a few years. It's my wife Angel over here. We do some teaching in the back. We do some preaching from the pulpit. We just do whatever Pastor Jeff says needs to be done for the day. Or Wendy, wherever Wendy is. Whatever Wendy says I'm supposed to be doing. Hey, girl. Whatever Wendy says I'm supposed to be doing, that's what we do. So I brought all my stuff up here, but I'm not going to be doing anything. My wife is actually, you're doing the offering, right? Because I did not prepare for offering. So I'll get out of the way and let her do her thing. You need a microphone? Right. You want me to stay with you? Which one, Pastor? Okay. Hey, y'all.
Hey.
Yes,
did we have a good Christmas?
Try that and see if it works.
Hallelujah. Did we have a good Christmas?
She's anointed.
Yes. God is good. Amen. Okay, so tonight we're going to, I want to share a little bit I've been kind of mulling over. And we're going to go to Luke chapter 1, verse 28. And some of you kind of know where I'm going. You know, it's Christmas. And so I've been kind of, I like to go back and read the story of the birth and look at that during the holidays just to put me into remembrance of what exactly went on. And I don't know about you, but I really like to study people in the Bible because they're just like us, you know. And so whenever we look at different people in the Bible, I like to glean from them the good stuff and learn from their mistakes. And so if I can learn from their mistakes, then maybe I won't repeat their mistakes. And then the things that are good, I like to glean those things that are good that maybe I'll go forward and copy them. It's good to copy good stuff, right? Amen. All right, so we're in Luke chapter 1, verse 28. And I'm going to start, and I'm going to paraphrase a little because we are doing King James Version. Hallelujah. And it says, "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." I would love to have an angel of the Lord appear to me and say, "Blessed are you among women." Now, we're going to look here in just a minute as to why Mary was considered blessed among women. But she walked in a lot of favor. And later on, we kind of see why she walked in that favor. Verse 29, "And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation should this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give unto him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Hallelujah. That's good. "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Now, me being a woman and I've had three children, if an angel appeared to me and said all of these things, I'm not sure that would be the first question I asked. Because if an angel appeared to me and said, "You're going to have the Son of God," the first thing I would probably ask is, "Why me, Lord? What have I done that I would deserve any of this? I mean, I'm not good enough for this." I can just imagine all the things that would play out in my mind. But Mary did ask. She said, "Well, how is this going to happen?" I mean, that's a natural question. I've never been with a man. How in the world is this going to happen? So let's keep reading in verse 35. And it says, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost will come upon you, and the power of the High shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren." And this is where he answers her. This is the answer. "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." So it doesn't matter, Mary, that you haven't been with a man, because with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, I'll tell you, the next statement from Mary just blows me away. In verse 38, it says, "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Now, I want to read this in the Message, because I like the Message. Y'all know that because I did this last time, if I can get my phone to cooperate. But the Message puts it into just everyday terms. And in verse 38, the Message says, "Yes, I see it all now. I'm the Lord's maid, ready to serve. Let it be with me just as you say." That is some faith right there. You know, Pastor Andy this morning touched on it, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. That is why Mary was favored. Mary walked in faith. She had out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. She spoke out of what had been birthed in her heart. She spoke out of the belief that had been in her heart for many years. You know, she knew that the one that called her was faithful. And so even though this thing that seemed totally impossible to her, in the natural, she knew that God was faithful. And out of that abundance in her heart, out of that faith that had built up in her heart, her words were, "Just as you say, I'm your servant. I'm ready to do just as you say." And I love the Message because it says, "I see it. I see it all now." She could visualize it. She could see the end result of what God was putting into her heart. Some of you know, I mean, we have three kids, and I don't know, most of you probably weren't around when I got pregnant with number three. But number three, Zoe, was my surprise. You know, I don't say accident because she wasn't an accident. She was surprised. And I'm a planner big time. Greg can testify. And so Maisie was planned. Joseph was planned exactly 5 years after. You know, I want them 5 years apart. And then here comes Zoe, who was not planned, 21 months after Joseph. Well, I had always said, I don't want my kids close together. I wanted them spaced far apart. You know, I planned stuff. And so I cannot, the reaction that I gave the Lord was not the reaction that Mary gave him. I mean, I'll just tell you, my reaction was, dear Lord, what have you done to me and why me? You know, my reaction was totally opposite of what Mary's reaction was. But God always knows what he's doing, because I cannot imagine our house without little Zoe. She is full of life, and that's why we named her Zoe, because Zoe means the life of God, and she is very much full of life. She is her own person, and she is unique, and we are going to use that for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. But she is something, but I cannot imagine our house without her. But, you know, my point in all this, we're doing tithes and offerings, is that Mary saw what God had birthed inside of her. And really, we ought to be the same way with every area of our life, even our money. You know, God wants us to see our seed. He wants to see the harvest, really, before we even see the seed. Because y'all think about it. A farmer plants seed. Why? Why does he plant seed? To get a harvest. He sees with his spiritual eyes what is going to happen when he plants that seed. He knows that little tomato seed, and I'm not a gardener, y'all, I'm sorry. But he knows that seed is going to produce a tomato plant. He knows this seed is going to make watermelons. This seed is going to make corn. He knows what his seed is going to produce. And if he didn't know that, he wouldn't even plant the seed. And so she knew in her heart, because of what God had planted in her heart and what she had meditated on for years and believed for years, that God was faithful, that what the angel told her, the word of the Lord, was true. And because it was true, it wasn't hard for her to speak out of faith. And, you know, Pastor Andy, this morning when he said his series is, what was the name of it? Miracle in Your Mouth. I was like, amen, that's Mary. Mary, you know, one of our terms that we've always said is that our response determines our destiny. And with Mary, her response truly determined her destiny, because we cannot say that if Mary had responded differently, she would have been the mother of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It could have been a Rachel or Rebecca or a Hannah. It could have been somebody else. And I mean, I don't know. But her response was just, I am your servant, Lord, here to do what you've told me to do. And here's the thing. God has told us exactly what to do. He's given us lots of verse, lots of scripture on every area of our life. You know, we're talking about tithing and offering and sowing seed. He's told us what to do with our seed. He said, give, and it's going to come back. And we don't give because we want more money. You know, here's the thing. This stuff that's in this envelope, I don't have any faith in our currency. None. But I have a whole lot of faith and the one that's going to increase it for his kingdom. It is not because we don't stick this in the offering because we want more money. We put this in the offering because we want people to get into the kingdom. We want people to be able to know what we know and experience what we experience and to hear the word. And if you think it doesn't cost money to do that, you know, I hate to tell y'all, you know, we're going fishing. And when you go fishing, you need bait, and bait costs money. It just does, right? Bait costs money, and it's the same here at this church. You know, the ministry costs money. You got to have it in order to function, and so we don't want to do things halfway here. No, this is a church on the move. Pastor Andy keeps saying that, and it is true. I'm just seeing this church just growing and moving to a new level, and I'm excited that all of us are going to be a part of that, because we're going to take our seed. And we're going to do like Mary. We're going to see it. We're going to see that harvest. The word says that the laborers are few, but the harvest is plenteous. Now, part of what laborers do is they plant the seed, but first they got to prepare the soil. They prepare that ground. They plant the seed. But then after the seed is planted and that harvest comes in, who do you think is going to bring it in? The laborers. Okay? And that's us. So I'm ready tonight to sow some seed. Are y'all ready? And we're going to be like Mary. We're going to see it. We're going to see this seed moving into the kingdom, being used by our Father God to bring others into his household. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you tonight, Father, for your word. Lord, we just come to you as humble servants, just as Mary did, Father. And we just thank you, Lord, that you're giving us the opportunity to sow seed, to plant seed into your kingdom. And Lord, tonight we are just believing for a harvest. We are believing for a harvest of souls. We see tonight with our spiritual eyes all of those sons and daughters that you're ready to bring into your household, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be a part of it tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
You sure you want to say anything else? Usually she talks longer than that. Hallelujah. It's a joy to give, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I was playing with Jeff Scott this morning, Pastor Jeff Scott, who's like, you preaching tonight? I guess. You know, I was messing around with him. He said, what you preaching on? I said, no idea. I was kind of messing with him. I kind of had an idea, and I actually had some notes prepared, and I had some things put together, but it got changed, so we're just going to have to kind of shoot from the hip a little bit with the time that we've got left here, and I'm not going to take up too much of it. But the Lord hit me with something, first thing, we're going to take care of some housekeeping, okay? So the first thing I'd like to do is thank Pastor Andy for letting us have this pulpit and have this time here with you. It's an honor to be with you here tonight. It's an honor to stand before you. Each and every one of you has the capability to be up here and do this very same thing. If you've been in this church for more than 6 months, you've got enough word in you to change the entirety of the world. It's in you right now. You have the capability to do it, and it is an honor to stand before you and deliver the word of God. And, of course, we thank Pastor Andy and Pastor Jimmy for all that they afford to us and give us opportunity. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your help. We thank you, Holy Ghost, that as we open our mouth, you fill it. Father, we prepare our hearts to hear the word that you would have for us tonight. We're prepared and expecting from you revelation. And Father, I thank you that revelation comes directly from you. Holy Ghost, we give you reign in this place. You have your place here tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. It just kind of hit me while we were kind of preparing for service and up here and the singing and the praise and worship was going on. We're getting here right here at the end of the year or the beginning of a new year, whichever way you want to look at it, if you're a cup half full or a cup half empty kind of person. So either way for you, you're either going to be at the end of the year or the beginning of the new year, you know, and we're right here upon it. And there's a lot of, I've noticed over time, you know, every year around this time, you're going to start hearing words from different men of God and women of God. And, you know, Pastor David's already delivered a word for this year. And I'm sure that there'll be other men of God and other people that you'll hear from. You'll hear prophecies and that kind of thing that'll begin to come out this year. And really what started it was during the announcements? Yes, the announcements were anointed tonight. Thank you. Had it not been for the announcements. However, you know, during the announcement, she mentioned the Daniel fast and us going through a fast and coming up. And so that, you know, that time period, we're going to step over into a time period where we begin to fast and we begin to put down our flesh, which we have completely let go the last couple of weeks. And so we begin to put that thing back down and to let our flesh know, hey, by the way, I'm in control here. And we're going to enter into a time of fasting and a time of prayer and a time of seeking God and a time of looking. And all these prophecies and things are going to be coming forth. And you're going to be hearing this and hearing that and seeing this and seeing that. The Lord will then begin to reveal things to you. And you'll start to see some things on the inside of you, like what Angel was talking about. You know, kind of like Mary, she had a vision. You know, you could see things that are coming. Your imagination will begin to kind of work on you a little bit. Your soul, if you're hooked up with God and you're reading your word, your soul will begin to get active. The soul of a man is the mind, the will, and the emotions. You know, we're spirit, soul, and body. So the spirit is the recreated portion of who we are. The flesh will never change. It will always want to eat just as much as we ate over the past couple of weeks. And the soul is the portion that kind of goes through a daily kind of saving. You know, you renew your mind to the word. You know, my beloved, you know, receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul, James said. And so your soul will begin to use its imagination. And thank God for imagination, because we could take that thing and use our imaginations. We probably don't use them as much as we used to when we were children, but I'm a creative guy. And so, you know, I can think way outside the box. Amen. And so, you know, your imagination, but the imagination, as the word is built, is the image in. It's imagine in. Imagination, you get an image and begin to build an image in of the expectation or what it is that you think that God has for you out there. Based on, you know, the word and your time spent with God. And what I got while she, during the announcements. I mean, those announcements were anointed tonight, girl, I tell you. She's praying in the Holy Ghost before she comes up here. What the Lord told me was, is during the fast and all the words that are coming forth, not to forget that our faith is based upon an expectation of it coming to pass. We can hear all the word that we want to hear. We can spend all the time that we want to spend in the presence of God. But unless we allow expectation to take its place in our lives and begin to expect something, then we will not be seeing, we will not necessarily get what we believe. We'll be getting what we expect as we move forward. And if you're expecting absolutely nothing, then you will receive absolutely nothing. Everybody go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Expecting, expectation. We have to be expecting something to happen. We have to be expecting something to change. If we don't put ourselves in a situation where we believe that something is going to change and expect it to be so, we'll see ourselves 10 years down the road, or this time next year, another 12 months down the road, still believing for the same thing, still looking for the same miracle that we were looking for the year before. But what the Lord is showing me, and I mean, he hit me with it right there in that chair. I mean, it is based on our expectation of what he can do. Amen? I'll show you what I'm getting at. I'm getting some funny looks, and Lord, help me with this, Jesus. Everybody say, help Jesus. Help Jesus. Amen. I need some help. Y'all at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Wow. How many of y'all could quote that one? Amen. We've been looking at that thing for years. Now, faith is the substance of the things that we hope for and the evidence of things not seen. So we can take things that are not seen by the natural eye and we can give evidence of them. How? Through our faith. We can also give substance to the things that we hope for. Now, our hope is basically, we've heard Pastor David preach this, that our hope is basically our vision, what we have imagined in to be, the thing that we've seen out there. The Greek word behind hope, and I can't remember it because I didn't prepare for it, but look it up. Find you a Strong's and look the thing up. The Greek word behind hope means a constant expectation of something good taking place. It's not what we use it for in our modern language right now. Usually whenever we use the word hope in 2013, the word hope in 2013 is, man, I sure hope so. I sure hope that happens. But not here. Here in the Bible, when this was originally penned, the word meant to have an expectation of something good happening in your life. And without that expectation, your faith, which Pastor Andy is opening up a miracle in your mouth that you believe in your heart and you speak it out of your mouth and it's so, your faith does not have anything to grab onto because you're not expecting anything. We have to be expecting the power of God to move in our lives. If we cannot expect the power of God to change something in our lives, then our faith has nothing to grab hold to. It's not just the vision of writing it down. Pastor Andy's vision on that wall is not just his hope and his vision written down on the wall. It is his expectation of what God is going to perform in this place. So this year, as we begin to turn over the year, we have to realize the power of us expecting a move. People, I mean, the older I get in God and the more I learn in God, the more I see I don't know. The more of the Word I get into, I mean, the dumber I get, it seems like. It's just like, man, I don't know nothing. I'm like, Jesus, you know, help. I don't know anything. We have to get to a point, I have to get to a point, we all have to get to a point to realize that unless we are expecting a change, all of our confessing, all of our speaking of the word, all of our visions that we write down, every prophecy that comes forth, every bit of the 66 books that he gives us, all of that is for naught if we're not expecting something good to happen. Give you an example. I need some water, baby. Is there some water down there? Let's say that you got a bill due. I'm a banker. I always like to talk about bills. That's what I do during the day. If you don't know me, I help people create bills. That's what I do. Greg, I got to have it. Are you sure? I got to have it, man. Have you prayed about it? I got to have it. Okay. Sign here. See you next month, hopefully, you know. I'm sorry. But let's say that the banker has set up a loan for you, and he set it up for you. And man, you have expectation to pay the thing, all right? And you've built that bill or that debt, and then you've built another bill and another debt, and not controlled your flesh anymore, and built some more debt, and still threw care to the wind and build up more debt. And now we've got ourselves in a situation where we're living from paycheck to paycheck, you know? And we know that the bills are all sitting in the mailbox, and we're kind of waiting on that check to get here, right? We need a paycheck or whatever the thing is, got to have something come in. And like sometimes you get something in the mail and they say, well, you know, the check, you know, we've issued a check to you. You will be receiving, you know, X amount of dollars at a certain period of time. Well, I mean, sometimes, you know, you go out there and it's like, man, it's supposed to be here today. And, you know, it's all on this deal. And you go out there to your mailbox and you pull the mailbox open and it's not there. And all of a sudden, we get to a point where we say, and this is me, I'm talking to me. Man, this faith stuff ain't working. Or is it just me? Am I the only one that ever done that? I mean, if I am, that's great. Y'all can all leave, and I'll preach to myself. But where you get there, and you look in the mail, and it's not there, and it's like, man, this faith, and you might give it one or two more days, maybe. I mean, if you really been in the Word, you might give it one or two more days. You know, you come in the next day, it ain't there. Okay. You know, then the third day it ain't there, and you definitely cussing now, you know, because you done got yourself in a hole, and you know, you don't know how to get out, and the flesh begins to grow on us. I say all that as an example of what we need to do and the way we need to refocus ourselves and get our soul in line is to say that if the check's not there, it's going to be tomorrow. It's going to be showing up tomorrow. It'll be here tomorrow and the next day to continue to expect that good that God said that we could have through the vision, through the word, through a prophecy, whatever it may be that's coming forth this year. You have to realize that your expectation can never fail. We shouldn't let it fail. Go to Acts chapter 2. Let's look at this real quick. No, Acts chapter 4, I think it is. Is it the right message or do I need to go back to my notes? Y'all good? No, Acts chapter 3. See, I told you. It's off the cuff, man. Acts chapter 3. Verse 1, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And fixing his eyes upon him with John and Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And we all know the story, and he pulled the guy up and he walked on. But if you take a look at the thing, the verse 4 is that the man was expecting something. He had his expectation out there. Had the man's expectation not been there, I'm not really sure that Peter could have been moved upon by the Holy Ghost to sit down there and say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Because the man's expectation and his hope that something was going to come from these people, his expectation and hope is what pulled upon the Spirit of God and the power of God resting inside those men. Had he not been expecting, I'm not sure that it would have come. I mean, I mean, I know that miracles can happen outside. It's a divine intervention where God can just come in and move in an area and in a place. But we, as the receivers of this miracle, we have to position ourselves for receiving of whatever it is that God's giving us. And we have to have that expectation or that hope so that our faith has something to hold on to. Y'all with me? Let's go to Mark chapter 9. Amen. How much time I got? Running low. Mark chapter 9. Verse 14. No, we're not going to do 14. It starts in verse 14 where it's talking about a boy that's been, you know, he's having some trouble and it's epileptic and, you know, he's getting thrown in the fire and thrown in the water. The disciples come pray for him, you know, nothing happened. And anyway, let's go on here to verse 21. So Jesus asked the father, how long has this been happening to him? And the father said, from childhood. And often has he thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And I don't know if it's the Message Bible. Is that Angela back there? I don't know if it's the Message Bible or look at 23 in the Message Bible. One of the translations said if. Yeah, there it is. Jesus said if with a question mark behind it. Y'all see that? Is it up here? Yeah, if. There are no ifs among believers. Anything can happen. This man, now let's back up and let's look at this situation. This man with his son had been thrown into, and the men of God came and prayed for his son. How many of y'all come stood up here and had people lay hands on you and nothing changed? Huh? This guy had it. He had it happen. How many of you ever got a vision from God and you look at 12 months later and ain't nothing changed, huh? Amen. And the guy came to Jesus, and Jesus walked up on the scene. And the guy said, look, he thrown in the water. Your disciples have done prayed for him. Ain't nothing changed. And then in verse 23. And then Jesus said, the man said, if you could do anything. And Jesus said, if? What are you talking about? There are no ifs. There are no ifs. There are no ifs for a believer. If you believe that God can and will do anything, then there is no if that should be on you. If there is an if on you, it is a badge of doubt. It is a badge that there is no expectation in your heart. You're not expecting for God to move in your life. Now, you may be, in the modern vernacular, hoping that something happens or wishing that something happens, but you are not convinced that something will happen. We have to get from a point of just saying, Lord, do it, make it happen, to a point to where it is going to happen. The Lord's moving, and I'm out here looking for the spot where He needs me to be at so that thing can hit. Does that make sense? Y'all with me on that? I mean, every bit of the provision of God has already been delivered through us forever and ever. Amen. Okay? And I don't understand it completely, but the Bible talks, it's a past tense kind of situation whenever you start looking at God providing or healing or these kind of, all these things, you know, you look at healing and by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. It's a past tense who has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness has, it's already done. It's past tense. We have to begin to realize that all of that provision, whatever it is that you're needing out of salvation through Jesus, whatever it is already done. It's already provided. It's already out there. What we have to do as the receiver of that, we have to position ourselves in the right spot to be able to receive what it is that's already been provided. And our receiving has everything to do with whether or not we are expecting that God can. Do we really believe that God can? And if we do believe that, then let's get our expectation up to such a level to where our faith has everything in the world to grab onto. Pastor Andy is going into a message about faith. Your heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. You know, it's the word of faith which we preach. Romans chapter 10, verse 8, he did it this morning, which is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. Whatever's in your heart was going to come out of your mouth, and that is your faith working. Your faith is your mouth and your heart working together. But we just read that faith is the substance of the things that we're expecting. Are you expecting anything? Or are you just going through the motions of Christianity? Is your confession nothing more than there to calm the storm of your mind? I'm going to say it again. Is your confession only there to calm the storm of your mind, to make you settle down? Or is your confession really there grabbing on to an expectation that you have of something good? I think it was Oral Roberts who used to say, I'm expecting a miracle today, or wasn't that, what was it, Pastor? Something good's going to happen today. That's what Oral Roberts said for you. Something good is going to happen to you today. And without that expectation, that's the hope. It's not a wish. That vision out there on that wall is not a wish. Okay? The prophecies that you will be hearing over the next couple of months are not wishes. All right? Those are actual expectations that you can place in your life. That's his expectation of what's going to happen. Pastor Andy is expecting every bit of that to come to pass on that wall. And not only that, but exceedingly abundantly above what he's got written down, because God is able to do well above anything that we could ask or think. But it's still based upon our ability to expect him to get it done. All right. Amen. That was free. Hallelujah. Is there anything else here, Lord? Go back to Hebrews chapter 1, or excuse me, chapter 11, verse 1. No. Let's look at where we just were. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 9, verse 23 in the message, and then we're going to stop. Can you put it up there, Angela, please? I think it was Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Is that right? Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Do 22, please. Many times it pitches him into the fire or in the river to do away with him. If you could do anything, do it. Have a heart and help us. Help Jesus. Help Jesus. Verse 23, Jesus said, if. There's only one problem with the man's statement. Was if you can do anything. Jesus can do and has done everything. Everything you could ever dream, hope, and desire has been provided in this life. It's there right now. Worship team, y'all can come up. Everything has been provided. There are no ifs. He can move on your behalf so quick and do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. But it's based upon your expectation. If there are no ifs among believers, anything can happen. Do not limit God with just your little old mind. Go ahead and let him move and let him show out on you. Amen? Glory to God. Hey, I'm on time too. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Y'all can bow your heads, close your eyes, I think. Or you can keep your heads up and keep your eyes open. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, help. Jesus, help us. Help us, Jesus. Get the ifs and the doubts out of us, Lord. Help us to have our expectation turned real high. I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to turn my expectation high for 2014. 2014 is going to be the best year I've ever had because I hadn't had it yet. Next month is going to be the best month we've ever seen. You want to know why? Because we ain't been in it yet. You hearing me? This is going to be the best year we have ever seen. I've said it before. You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen it yet. You just think things are good. You have no idea what God has planned for you. You have no idea how great and wonderful it can be. You think you do, but you don't know it. You ain't seen it yet. Your little old mind, our little old mind, cannot fathom the things that God can do with us. From this little old church and little old men in Louisiana, I like what a lot of preachers say. You could get from anywhere in the world from that stoplight right up here. Where am I at? Boom, right down here by Walmart. Get anywhere in the world from right there. And you, like I said, you have enough word in you to change the entire world. I mean, just one scripture. You can do John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that who shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Change the world with that one word. One. Expect a bunch from God. Expect God to just show up and show out and do exceedingly abundantly above everything you could ask or think. Have your expectations high. Be prepared for something big to happen. Something good is going to happen. Something good is going to happen. Don't let the devil get you blinded so much that you expect nothing but negative all the time. Because I'll tell you, if you expect something bad to happen to you, no matter how much faith confession you're going to do, something bad's coming. You can say your confessions all day long. I've been there. Confessing the word every day, in the word every day. Praying in tongues every single day, but still expecting something bad to happen. All it is just a little correction, a little small correction. Something good's going to happen. Something big's going to happen. God is going to show up and show out like he never has before. He is going to move in this place like he never has before. These ministries that we have in this place are going to blow up. The evangelistic ministries, the missions, the children's, hallelujah, the music, the nursery, the announcements, it's going to blow up. It's going to be better than it's ever been before, but it's going to be based on our expectation, knowing that there is no if, there is only yes and amen. Every word of God is yes and amen. Yes and amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Anybody in here, you're not saved? That really wasn't a salvation message. If you've never been saved, you may not come back to church. Somebody talking about that stuff. Why is this guy pointing at me? Anybody in here, you never accepted Jesus as the Lord of your life? We'll do it right now. You will be recreated, made new. And I think I recognize everyone in here. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody in here that's not had their expectors up and you've not had your expectations high, or the Lord's dealt with you to take them even higher and take them up to the next level. How am I going to do this, Jesus? What are we going to do? Just everybody close your eyes, stay where you are. And let's just, if you're ready for, if you want to turn your expectation up, and begin to see that something good is going to happen to you, specifically to you. Something good is going to happen to you. Just go ahead and make a heart adjustment right now. And I'm asking you, Lord, to give them the vision that they need for their personal lives. I'm asking you, Lord, to give us the vision that we need for our personal lives. We're asking you, Father, to help us get the image of who you want us to be inside. We're asking you from your word, hallelujah, from men of God that you put in our lives, from prophecies that come forth, from time spent with you, Father. Help us to get on the inside of us the image whom you would like us to be, where you would like for us to go, what it is that you would like for us to do. And Father, I make a pledge right now, and y'all can pledge with me if you want to. I will get my expectation high. I will be expecting God to move in my life like he never has before. No matter what the bills say, no matter what the doctor says, no matter what anything of this world says, I will only go after and look at that image that you've placed on the inside of me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Just lift your hands and thank you. Thank you, Lord. We thank you in advance right now, Father. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. We're expecting. No more ifs. No more doubts. Hallelujah. No more questioning of whether or not it is or it ain't going to happen. Father, we're expecting it. We're expecting right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. What's the protocol here? We're done, huh? Who prays? Do I pray to let one of them pray? I get to pray if I want to. Oh, I'm running the show. Can we stay till midnight? It's my show. Probably my last one if I do that, huh? All right, then. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Father, we thank you that as we...